If we were in this room to go to others in this room who God used to awaken a part of the revelation of God in us that came through those people, we would be awash in tears in this room. When I think about who the various people, all the people, everybody that I know in this room on any level of depth has been used of God to awaken something in me that only that person was allowed to awaken. The older I get, the more aware I am of how many people have contributed to my walk in Christ. My wife, my children, many, many of you. And it would be fun, maybe in eternity we'll do that. I can see it happening, of walking to one another where there's no clock and really engaging in one another and thanking God for what He awakened in us through you. And when I touched that, and that's been a part of this last few years for me, I always have the feeling and say, I could never repay you for what I owe you, for what you awakened in my life. Am I communicating to anybody? We are all a piece, an orchestrated piece of how Jesus Christ chooses to reveal Himself through one another. And it is in that spirit that, as I looked at my notes this morning, and actually I'm going to follow them in a modified way. I owe the Japanese, as a people group, more than I could repay them. Because the Japanese gave to me an understanding of basics that Western civilization could not give me. And this morning, I just want to reaffirm some basics. There's a bunch of smart people in here. And in the areas where we are anointed, we're all smart. Is everybody clear on that? Smart is relative to your assignment. So I want to just take 5 or 6 words and ask the Holy Spirit to connect us in some visceral, gut-level, spiritual way with these words. Because these words are basics. These are the words out from which we move. Out from which we move. The first word is ekklesia. Ekklesia. Father, allow us to understand the meaning of what that word means and the challenge of what that word means relative to where we now are in the church and where we must go to become the ekklesia of Christ. Are you with me? The ekklesia is a ruling body. It is a governing body. It is a kingly body with a priestly mission. When you pray, pray that the Lord will open up the eyes, especially of the leaders, who all of us who are in any role of leadership in the church, there is a shift that is going to be required from what we have thought church meant to what it really means. And all that is going to be involved in shifting away from that which is familiar to that which is not familiar and we don't even know what it's going to look like. Second word, the kingdom of God. The essence of the kingdom is the king. And we touched lightly last night relative to the depth that it needs to be plumbed. The king and kingly authority and kingly function of this man, fully man, fully God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This guy is the king of the universe. And it needs to get so deep in us that when we say kingdom, it's coming out of a level of revelation that absolutely is the foundation of who we are spiritually. Basics becomes an identity. I'm only as clear as my basics. All comes out of the basics of the revelation of God's things. The kingdom of God. Number three, the apostolic ecclesia. We are in a shift from being pastorally constructed. It's not that the pastor is an absolutely essential, vital dimension of the ecclesia, but the foundation, as Paul said, the foundation of apostles and prophets, Ephesians 2:20, I think, that is the foundation of the ecclesia. It's apostolic. And I think many of you, most of you in here, I trust, are aware that the Greek word for apostolic was a military term. An apostle was an admiral or a general. I'm not making this up, Bereans. Check me out. The etymology of the word was a military term. Rome wasn't worried about evangelists coming. But when they heard there were apostles, this is a literal fact, when they heard there were apostles coming, they understood that an apostle was a military form, which meant there was something about Christianity that had a military dimension to it. I don't mean killing and shooting, but it was a concept that had a military rank and file and authority in it, and that they could not coexist with. Are you with me? The apostolic ecclesia. Holy Spirit, let that become so deep in us that it is the filter system through which we hear religious words. We hear spiritual words through the grid work of how does what I am hearing fit into and substantiate the apostolic ecclesia. Next word. The kingdom, the kingly and the priestly. The kingly and the priestly, a community, as you saw in the notes, quoting those verses there in Revelation, a kingdom of priests. The kingly dimension is the building dimension, the ruling dimension, the authority dimension. Remember the centurion. How many of you think it must have taken something amazing for Jesus to marvel? I love the detail of God's word. When Jesus saw that this Yahoo centurion, who was not a priest, none of all the religious stuff had gone into his brain. He was just a Roman centurion, which meant he was over 100 men. He said, I get you, Jesus. I also am just like you. I am in authority and under authority, and I understand authority. And you don't have to go. Just speak the word. Just speak the word. And the Bible says, and Jesus marveled that this non-religious military guy understood the kingdom more than the educated religious leaders. There's nobody, I haven't seen anybody in Israel that gets this the way this quote-unquote unsaved guy. I mean, he had to have gotten saved just in the revelation of, I connect with you, Jesus. I understand who you are now. It's not complicated. You're a man of ultimate authority. And I, too, understand authority. Which comes back to us in recognizing that in being connected with Christ, He has given a mantle of authority to us. And I want to challenge us with the question, how much reality is there for you of the authority of Christ that you have been given?
Ask it again.
How much of the authority of Christ are you self-consciously aware that you possess? So I think in our humanity, we're nervous about authority and power because we see power so misused so frequently. We're afraid to touch the authority that's in us because we're afraid it will pollute us or make us egotistical or make us misuse power. By the way, how many of you are aware that this life here is an exercise in training us to touch power, function in power, and be willing to believe that if we're in the Holy Spirit, that power is not going to be misused? Are you hearing me? And for us to go into the apostolic ecclesia that the Holy Spirit is in the whole earth right now. I'm around the earth. Numbers of you in here are around the earth. Countries. We're wrestling with the fragility of our fallenness because that is what comes up the moment we begin to try and find the authority that Jesus has given us. And if we are in reality, the last thing we want to do is misuse the authority of Christ. So we have to come to the point where we're clear enough in the ethics of love that we're able to release the authority that is in us to do what that authority is designed to do. What is your authority designed to do? Where is it designed to function? Next. Next point. The stewardship of the earth. My father died a marginalized believer. He was like many, many people life and what he had seen in the church and Christianity, was not impressed. He was not impressed. But one of the things, as I said, was Dad and I were talking before he passed. I said, Dad, do you want to say anything to me? And I said, what are you thinking? As he was dying of emphysema. He smoked Camels. I was never man enough. I smoked Marlboros. But Camels were too tough. That was a whole other level for 55 years. And he said, I'm going to miss the earth. It's a beautiful place, you know. I heard that side of his being that God had touched. The depth in, I'm going to miss the earth. And again, here's a point where I couldn't repay Dad for what that awakened in me of God's love for the earth. Some years ago, in fact, when I was writing my first book, Winning the Battle in the mid-80s, I was out running in a vineyard about 20 miles from here. I'd write, and I went out running in the vineyards. And I was so overcome by the beauty of the vineyards and the earth, I just broke into uncontrollable tears. And I realized that the Christianity that we live in has viewed this incredible planet as some kind of a disposable mud ball. I mean, so far away from God's investment in this earth. And it was at that moment the Holy Spirit said to me, tell my people that they're moving in the opposite direction. You're trying to get off my earth, and I'm trying to get on it through you. And then I really cried. I mean, so committed to going there, as I said, the deal that we made 200 years ago with the world was we've proven that we're not capable of managing it, so we turn it over to you, which you're glad to take. We'll take heaven in the future. You take the earth and now. And to some degree, we're still in that deal. And we have to break out of that deal. Stewardship of the earth. Those of you in the business school, you know that whole foundation in there of the nature of business and the nature of economics begins with the stewardship principle of all things. Lastly, worldview, Weltanschauung is what it was said to us in German. The German foundation of worldview is where worldview as a concept started. Many of us now, and all of us in this room sooner or later, in some way are going to get involved in the discipling of nations, which was the final commission that Jesus gave us there in Matthew. And it's no accident that it's in Matthew, because Matthew is the gospel of and to the Jews. It's the most Jewish of the four gospels by far, not even close. And the Jews reiterated again the assignment that God gave to Israel, that they never understood that they were to be the light of God to the whole world. They did what we have done. They so internalized their experience with God, just like the church has done, is internalized. We've made the same mistake that our Jewish forefathers made, of internalizing the life of God within the walls, venturing out instead of understanding that the commission was to be that city on a hill. That the way that we manage our community is so full of life that the world system should want to emulate the way that we manage. And in some ways, and I say this, you know, Jan and I have given our life for the church. So I think I've earned the right, so to speak, to critique. Okay. When you bring businessmen and women into the church and see the way we manage it, it's a stretch. I'll just put it that way. It's a stretch. The world is so far beyond us in many ways, not ethically, but in terms of kingly management, we're a joke. We're a joke. That is changing. It will change. But it will not change until we are as committed to the stewardship of God's things as the world is committed to the stewardship of money. Isn't that a shocker? Their commitment to money forces them into a level of efficiency that we don't emulate. As a one that believes in moderation, that's why I say pour me a drink and make it a triple. Can I say, I'm going to say that stuff anyway. I mean, it just makes you want to say, Jesus, how can this be? If there should be anybody that is into efficiency and multiplication and leverage and all the stuff, it should be us as the managers of the stewardship of the earth and the managers of culture and the managers of justice and righteousness and all that stuff. So I want to close because I want Doug. I want to tell you, Adam's going to introduce him. Doug Stringer is the real deal. He's the real deal. 3 things with these words. I want to own these words. I wish I could get into you what is in me about owning something. I don't own it until I own it. But what I own, I own. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying to you, what do you own and how deep do you know you own it? Three things. Number one, a clarity of the theology, of the biblical reality, the non-negotiable biblical reality of the theology of the kingdom of God, so that the kingdom is what we seek first. The king and the kingdom is what we seek first as he commanded and trained us to pray. First thing, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth now, as it is in heaven now. That the theology of the church, that the guardians of theology, and there are men and women appointed to guard theology, that the guardians of theology in the church will become kingdom-centered, non-negotiably. Secondly, that the pioneer group and the first responders Because that's what is being formed on the earth right now, as this transformation of this present moment, prophetically, this present moment, the pioneers and the first responders are being gathered all over the earth as I speak. And you're in this room, many of you, that we would give a godly example of the willingness to withstand the pressure against us. Satan is aware of what is going on. He is a highly intelligent being. I praise him not, but he is a master. He sees what's going on, and he is going to do everything he can to choke it out as quickly as he can. And by the way, Lawrence, it's personal. I'm not picking on you, I'm just as brothers. Move away from abstractions and deal with reality. It is personal. It's personal. And we need to become bulletproof of being shamed out of the militancy of the kingdom of God as it's in us. That means if my neighbors don't like me, I love my neighbors, but it is what it is. Everybody say with me right now, it is what it is. It is what it is. I can't change that. It is what it is. Lastly, that we will be aware that it's coming and we will fight against it. The tyranny of legal repression. Legal oppression is on its way. It's already started. It's on its way. That we will all agree we will resist legal oppression. Amen. Well, it's my privilege to turn this over. Okay, just what do we want to do with these words? We want to own these words. Say with me. I want to own these words. Say it one more time. I want to own these words.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.